ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 4, Text 35 and 36. I'll read text 35 myself and then we'll chant 36 together. Yam sadhu gatha sadasi ripavo api sura nipa प्रतिमानं प्रकुर्वन्ति किं उत्यान्ये पवादृशा। Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. In any assembly where there are discourses about saints and devotees, O King Yudhishthir, even the enemy of the demons, namely the demigods, what to speak of you, would cite Prahlad Maharaj as an example of a great devotee. Text 36. Gunair alam asankeyair mahatmyam tasya suchate Vasudeve Bhagavati Yasya Naisargiki Rati Gunairalam Asankeyair Mahatmyam Tasya Suchate Vasudeve Bhagavati Yasya Naisargiki Rati Gunairalam Asankeyair Mahatmyam Tasya Suyate Suchate Vasudeve Bhagavati Yasya Naisargiki Rati. Mataji's, please.
Thank you.
Gunai with spiritual qualities. Alam, what need? Asankeyai, which are innumerable. Mahatmyam, the greatness. Tasya, of him, Prahlad Maharaj. Suchate, is indicated. Vasudeve, to Lord Krishna, the son of Vasudev. Bhagavati, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yasya, of whom? Naisargiki, natural. Rati, attachment. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. Who could list the innumerable? Who could list the innumerable transcendental qualities of Prahlad Maharaj? He had unflinching faith in Vasudev, Lord Krishna, the son of Vasudev, and unalloyed devotion to him. His attachment to Lord Krishna was natural because of his previous devotional service. Although his good qualities cannot be enumerated, they prove that he was a great soul, Mahatma. Purport. In his prayers to the 10 incarnations, Jayadeva Goswami says, Kesavadritta Narahari Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hari. Prahlad Maharaj was a devotee of Lord Narasimha, who is Keshava, Krishna himself. Therefore, when this verse says, Vasudeve Bhagavati, one should understand that Prahlad Maharaj's attachment for Narasimhadev was attachment for Krishna, Vasudeva, the son of Vasudev. Prahlad Maharaj, therefore, is described as a great Mahatma, as the Lord Himself confirms in Bhagavad Gita 7:19, Bahunam janmanam ante jnanavan mam prabhadyate vasudeva sarvamiti sa mahatma sudurlabha. After many births and deaths, he who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. A great devotee of Krishna, the son of Vasudev, is a great soul very rarely to be found. Prahlad Maharaj's attachment for Krishna will be explained in the next verse. Krishna Griha Grahitatma. Prahlad Maharaj's heart was always filled with the thoughts of Krishna. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj is the ideal devotee in Krishna consciousness. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Milita Mena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Devamrita Swaminiti Namine Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Pasyate Adhistarane Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaura Bhaktavanda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, very beautiful glorification of Prahlad Maharaj. And it's explained that just by glorifying a devotee, even if we are not able to accomplish something great, just by glorifying another devotee, we develop the same good qualities as the devotees we are glorifying. Just like if we are meditating on others' faults, subtly we also pick up, you know, those faults in ourselves. So these pastimes are so relishable, so easy to read and understand, and it's so much fun. It's explained that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one of his favorite pastimes was this pastimes of Prahlad Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj, teachings of Queen Kunti like this. And you would hear him again and again, hundreds of times without cessation. Hundreds and hundreds of times. And we are so fortunate we have, you know, this kind of teachings. I was just thinking, imagine if, you know, we have so many MP3s of Prabhupada. And imagine if we had like one MP3 of Jesus Christ. Or somebody like Mohammed or somebody like that. It'll sell for like, you know, millions and millions of dollars, just even if just like one track. But we are so fortunate. We have so many thousands of, you know, audio and video and books written by somebody like Prabhupada. So we have to get into the habit of, you know, tasting them and understanding them. One time Prabhupada said that a devotee's prayer is that one day he will become determined to serve Krishna, to, you know, hear about Krishna, to chant his holy names like this. So we are hearing about Prahlad Maharaj's teachings, and in the future chapters we will actually get to hear his beautiful teachings, his realizations, even though he was just like 5 years old. You know, usually like 5 years old, you know, we don't expect much from him. Even his dad didn't expect much from him. But he was giving so many profound teachings. If we just were to read just Prahlad Maharaj's teachings again and again, there's so much to learn. We can go back to Godhead. One of his teachings, he was explaining how spiritual life cannot wait. Anything else in life we can postpone, but as far as spiritual life, it cannot wait. It's so urgent. He explained to his friends, Komaram acharyat pragyo dharmam bhagavatam iha durlabha manusha janma tadapi adruvam artadam. He said, his friends were actually telling him that we're just like kids now, let's play, we will focus on spiritual life later. But he said, no. He said, you know, the best time to start spiritual life is 5 years old. Very profound teachings. And he gives the analysis of how life is being wasted. He said, if somebody lives for like 100 years, due to uncontrolled senses, he sleeps like half of his life, 50 years. And when you're a child, you basically spend, you know, time playing and talking nonsense and learning so many things. And when you're old, you cannot do so many things. You become so absorbed in the bodily concept. I cannot eat this, I cannot do this, I cannot do that. You know, so many restrictions. And when we are young, when we are like in the middle age, we're just busy like, you know, working, maintaining family, saving for future. So this way our life is being plundered systematically. So Prahlad Maharaj said that basically we have few years left in every human's life. Like maybe, if we count, maybe 4 or 5 years. But Prahlad Maharaj says, Durlabha manusha janma tadapi adruva martadam. He said, even though it's temporary, even though we have only few years in our hands, it can award us the greatest benediction, namely love for Krishna. But Maya is so strong that somehow or other, you know, Maya distracts us. Like the story Prabhupada tells about this person, Kailash. Narada Muni was walking past this person, like a householder. His name was Kailash. And Narada Muni, being so merciful and compassionate, he said to Kailash, "You know, I'm actually going to Vaikuntha now. Would you like to come with me?" And Kailash said, "Oh, it sounds very nice, you know, but my children, I actually have kids and they're very young, you know, what will they do without me? So I can't go with you just yet, maybe in the future, but thank you." So Narada Muni came to him the next time and then he asked Kailash, "Are you ready to go? Would you like to go with me?" He said, "Oh, you know, I have just grandchildren now. They're just like really small. I can't go anywhere." So Narada Muni left. And many years later, Narada Muni was passing the house and he couldn't see this person, Kailash. He was looking for him. And then there was actually a dog in the house. It started barking at Narada Muni. And Narada Muni could see that, "My God, you know, this is that person I tried to save. He's become a dog, you know." So Narada Muni said, "Even though you're a dog, I can still, you know, take you. It's no problem. We want to come with me." And this person said, "You know, I've acquired so much wealth and all my children, my sons, they're so careless. If, you know, I have to guard this place, otherwise, you know, they can, you know, lose it. So I can't come with you now. I'm busy guarding the house." So Narada Muni felt sorry and he left. Next time he came, and the dog was not there. Narada Muni went inside and there was a safe. I don't know what they had in those days, but like a equivalent to a like a safety locker. And there was a big snake was coiled around this. Narada Muni said, "My God, you know, is that you?" He said, "Yes." Says, "It was not enough to be a dog. All the treasure, all the jewels and everything is actually kept within the safe. So now I'm completely, you know, onto it. Like I can, this is where all the wealth I saved is there." And Narada Muni said, "Okay, that's it. You know, if I keep giving you time, you're going to keep going down." So he called his sons and pointed out, "See this, you know, this venomous snake in your house." So they started beating, killed him, and then, you know, Narada Muni was able to, you know, show it the lesson for the soul that, you know, you keep getting attached, you're not going to get any better, you just keep getting worse, keep going down. So it's better, there's no time in our life where we're going to feel like we've done everything and we're ready to go back home, back to Godhead. We're always going to feel like, oh, why now, you know? Why now? Just now all my dreams are coming true. Just now, you know, I'm feeling a little healthy, or I just got money, or I just got this partner, or I got inheritance, or just now I'm able to like even chant properly or whatever. We may always have some reason why we want to stick around. Why we don't want to, you know, progress, why we don't want to die. But material nature is so cruel. When the time is up, it's up. It's not going to give us any extension. It's not possible. But this modern, especially lifestyle, is so not good for spiritual life. It's designed, you know, completely to distract us. It's like Prabhupada tells this joke. One four-year-old child asked his mother one day, "Mother, who is this man?" And she said, "Oh, you don't know, this is your father, child." "Oh, my father? I've never seen." Because every time the sun is up, the father is working, and then he comes home after the child has slept. And before the child wakes up, he's already gone to work. So this way, the kid didn't get to see his dad for like till he was like 4 years old. So Prahlad Maharaj, in his teachings, is pointing to us how, you know, how serious it is, human form of life. It's very valuable, but we are always distracted. And Sukadev Goswami has presented this beautiful story of Prahlad Maharaj and Narsingadev to show Parikshit Maharaj and, of course, to us, total dependence on Krishna. Because if you look at it, Prahlad Maharaj was like a frail 5-year-old child. He did not exhibit any physical strength. He didn't really have much of anything. But he was completely depending on Krishna. He realized with complete faith that if Krishna wants to destroy you, nothing can save you. And if Krishna wants to protect you, nothing can harm you. Very dear devotee of the Lord. And the same personality, he actually appeared in Lord Chaitanya's teachings as Vasudev Dutt. Vasudev Dutt, he was actually one of Lord Chaitanya's intimate associates, and he had this unbelievable compassion for the conditioned souls. Usually when we go to the Supreme, we usually want something like, you know, something material. If you look at any major religions of the world, you know, until like Prabhupada taught us, mostly it's all impersonal, whether it's like Christianity or Muslim or Buddhism or Hinduism. It's all like impersonalistic view, like God is some kind of light and He's like our, you know, old man or some weird understanding. And we always want something from Supreme, whether it's like health, wealth, good family, you know, prestige, something. But Vasudev Dutt, he approached Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya was willing to give him anything he desired. And Vasudev Dutt requested him that his heart breaks every time he sees someone suffering in forgetfulness of Krishna in this material world. And Vasudev Dutt requested that, you know, because of their bad karma, their impious activities, they're remaining in the material world birth after birth. So Vasudev Dutt requested him that please transfer the karma of all the living entities, all the sinful reactions of all the living entities on my head, so I can remain in hell forever, but they can be liberated. And this compassion and his words actually melted the heart of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya can see, you know, this person is not just speaking something very nice. He actually means it. And it brought tears to Lord Chaitanya's eyes. And Lord Chaitanya explained to him that it's no surprise you're talking like this, Vasudev, that because you're Prahlad Maharaj. And, you know, you're so dear to me that you can actually, I'm your property, and you can sell me wherever you like. And Lord Chaitanya would often say to his devotees, I'm actually Vasudev's man. I'm Vasudev Dutt's man. He can sell. What is that, Bhrigu? He said it 4 times. So according to Bhrigupati Prabhu, Mahaprabhu, Lord Chaitanya said 4 times, that I'm Vasudev Dutt's man, he can sell me if he so pleases, like this. And Vasudev Dutt was so dear to him. Why? Because he was Krishna conscious and he was always thinking about giving Krishna to others. He was completely selfless. It's mentioned, even though he's a householder and he had, you know, reasons for saving and accumulating, but he was so Krishna conscious and so generous that he would give away everything. He wouldn't like save anything for himself. So Lord Chaitanya actually requested Sivananda Sen to keep an eye on Vasudev Dutt's financial situations, so he doesn't overspend and, you know, doesn't have anything for himself. He doesn't just give it away to the people that are needy. So this is how it's mentioned that you know, if we want to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the best way is to, show compassion to others. Like Krishna explains in the Gita himself, Nachitasman Manusyeshu Kashchin Me Priya Kritama. That one who spreads my glories is the most dear to me. And it's not an easy task. Actually, Prabhupada told one devotee, when did I ever tell you that preaching is easy? Because you're dealing with all kinds of people with all kinds of, misconceptions. For us, because we're reading Prabhupada's books, we're chanting Hare Krishna, we're associating with devotees, everything seems so clear. But if you go outside and present Krishna consciousness, it's very educational actually to see how far away people are from Krishna consciousness, how ignorant. They have all kinds of weird understanding of what is spirituality, what is the goal of life, like this. So, but one who takes this time to go and spread Krishna consciousness, Krishna promises that he is the most dear. We get a reward, which is love for God. So there is so many beautiful teachings of Prahlad Maharaj. I just wanted to go through some of them, some of the slokas, that, just by reading these few slokas, we can, learn so much. So Prahlad Maharaj, when his father asked him, his father was bewildered that what is this? Where did you get this Krishna consciousness from? But basically Prahlad Maharaj replied, don't worry, my father. Like Prabhupada said the other day, Badri Narayan Prabhu was repeating words of Prabhupada, how Prabhupada said to one reporter, don't worry, there will always be fools like you who will not take to Krishna consciousness, so the world will go on. So those were the words of Prahlad Maharaj pretty much. Prahlad Maharaj's father asked him, how did you become Krishna conscious? Because from birth you were always in the palace, you were so protected and only association you had with the demoniac teachers. And Prahlad Maharaj replied to him, don't worry, my father, somebody like you will never become Krishna conscious. Not by your own endeavor, not by the help of others, not by the combination of both. And Prahlad Maharaj gives a hint, the only way that somebody can become Krishna conscious is to smear the dust of the lotus feet of Vaishnavas. Mahiyasham padarajobhishekam niskinchananam navanityav. He says, if you at all want to make progress in Krishna consciousness, just smear the dust from the lotus feet of somebody who is Krishna conscious. It's a very simple teachings. It's not that complicated. The example of Kalidas is given in the Chaitanya Leela. How Kalidas was doing this, because it says there are three things that can give us love for Supreme: the dust from the lotus feet of devotees, the prasadam that's left over in the plate of devotees, and the water that's bathed the feet of the devotees. So Kalidas was always getting all three, or at least one of these three, especially the prasadam. So he went to the house, what's that devotee's name? Jadu Thakur. Thank you. So Kalidas would always manage to get some remnants of foodstuffs left by the devotees every day. So one day he went to this great devotee's house. The devotee's name was Jadu Thakur. And by birth, Jadu Thakur was not Brahmana. He was born in a lower caste. But a Vaishnava is a Vaishnava. So Kalidas went to the house of Jadu Thakur, and he could see that Jadu Thakur is so humble and he feels himself so lowly that he's no way Kalidas, who comes from a higher Brahmin, devotee family, is able to get some remnants from Jadu Thakur. So he devised a plan. He went to the market and got some nice fresh mangoes. And he brought it to Jadu Thakur and his wife. And he left and he was hiding near the trash can. And he waited all day till they ate the mango. Of course, mangoes have seeds in them, big seeds. He designed, he planned like this. And Jadu Thakur's wife came and threw the peels and the seeds in the trash. And Kalidas picked up these seeds and started sucking on them with great enthusiasm and ecstasy. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's actually very, very strict, he doesn't allow anybody to touch his feet or eat his remnants like this. He would very selectively distribute them. So one day he was actually about to enter the, Lord Jagannath's temple, and he was washing his feet outside near the Simhadwaram gate. And Kalidas saw this, that Mahaprabhu is actually washing his feet. So Kalidas ran and put his palm under the feet of Lord Chaitanya, and the water just filled his palm, and he took one palmful, two, three, and Mahaprabhu said, okay, that's enough. Mahaprabhu even allowed this far because he knew that Kalidas, is not just making a show. This is his regulative principle. This is what he does every day. So much so, the Supreme Personality of Godhead gave him mercy. So this is one of the most important teachings of Prahlad Maharaj, not to waste time and to take shelter of the devotees. And there are so many other teachings of Prahlad Maharaj. One other thing comes to mind is Prahlad Maharaj said that the formula, if you want to be happy, he said, just stop trying to become happy. He said in few words, the formula for happiness. If you at all want to become happy, just stop trying to become happy materially. And he also said, the material solutions to a problem actually creates more problems than the original problem itself. It's amazing, 5,000 years ago, or many, much more than that, Narsingha Avatar, Matsya Kurma Varaha Narsingham was the fourth incarnation of Krishna. Many, many thousands and thousands of years ago, Prahlad Maharaj said it all. He actually said, Adanta Gobir Vishitam Thamisharam Puna Puna Charvita Charvananam. The material world is the same thing going on again and again, chewing the chewed. Like Prabhupada says, the old wine in a new bottle. Same thing again and again. So material happiness, Prahlad Maharaj compared it to this, repeatedly chewing of the chewed. And he actually said, Prahlad Maharaj also said, that to go back to Krishna is actually easy. To please Krishna is very easy. But to go to hell, it requires great endeavor, great labor. And Prabhupada gave like a whole lecture on this. And how we can see that in Krishna consciousness, the process of pleasing Krishna is actually like very simple. But what it takes when we go outside, there's so much ugra karma. There's so much unnecessary, unwanted activities going on just because people innocently trying to find happiness. And because they cannot find it, they're just getting more and more complicated. And the result is, we know, it's very bad. Illicit sex, meat eating, gambling, intoxication in the name of happiness. It actually leads us to a very horrible destination. So Prahlad Maharaj says, if you want to please Krishna, it's very easy. It's very easily pleased. But the problem is, because we're not constantly reading these books, we get covered over. we become like ghostly existence. We know, you know, what's the right thing to do, but we are impelled to do all kinds of things that are not directly Krishna conscious. Because we forget, somewhere in the back of our mind, we understand, you know, what's the right thing to do, what's the best thing to do. But we are more enthusiastic in our material activities because we are not regularly cleansing ourselves with these teachings. Then it becomes really frustrating. I was talking to one devotee, like, you know, he was saying how, you know, to be a karmi is actually suffering, but if you're a devotee and you're not practicing properly, you actually suffer more. Because you know so much, your intelligence, you know, is, you know, trained by reading these books, but because we're not able to practice, we're not able to enjoy material life like the karmis, they don't know any better, they're just blindly going about, you know, trying to enjoy. And a devotee, the one who practices strictly, is happy also because, you know, he knows he's just one day closer to Krishna. But the ones in between, they are actually the most miserable. And we don't have to be like that. It's actually our own whimsical decision and choice. So by reading these Prabhupada's books daily, it really, really helps like sharpen our intelligence and become focused. Because any time we read Prabhupada books, he reminds us of the reality, how, you know, you're not going to live forever here, and, you know, it's not a place for enjoyment like that. So I'll stop there. If we have any questions or comments, Rabindranath Prabhu. So many places Prabhupada says it. I can forward it to you. So many lectures he says. I'm sure you know more than me, but where is the microphone?
The closest I can come to it is, in the Bhagavatam it is mentioned, in one who has unflinching devotional service to Krishna, all the good qualities of Krishna and the demigods are consistently manifest.
Thank you.
Yes, since we're on this question, is that verse, I think it's First Canto, Second Chapter, 16, Text 16, Shushu Sho Shradhanasya Vasudeva Kataruchi Sian Mahat Sevaya Bipra Punya Tirtha Nasheva, that by rendering service to the great devotees, or the, you know, great service is done, and by so doing one acquires an affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudeva. So the great devotees have an affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudeva, and by serving them you acquire the same quality, the quality of having an affinity for hearing the message of Vasudeva. So that's nice. I would think that verse supports that point. But I had a comment too. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you're making the point during the class about how the people in general have no idea what spirituality is like. And I'm getting some like realization of that on Sankirtan, because one line I use when I'm distributing, and I just, you know, say to people, I can't, as I'm ready to hand them the book, I say, here, we're trying to give these to the people, the really spiritual-looking people that we meet out here today. You know, say, and I hand them the book, and I pause for a moment, and I go, so I don't know what it is, but you look really spiritual, you know. And then I say, I think maybe it's your belt buckle, you know, or maybe it's the hair color, so something like that, ridiculous, you know. And they laugh, and from the way they laugh, I can understand that they know that that has nothing to do with spirituality. You know, the belt buckle you're wearing, or your hair color, or something like that. And they know it's not important. You know, I could just it's like a, you know, just from that laugh, I can understand. They know it's not spiritual. They know it's not important. But it's just as if they're saying to me, but what can I do? I can't buck the system. You know, people place so much importance upon appearance and how you look. And so I'm just trying to look attractive. What can I do? You know, and I just feel when it happens like repeatedly throughout the day. And I just feel when I, you know, that happens, I just feel some sympathy for them. I say, yeah, these poor people, they don't know. It's, you know, they need to, somebody's got to come along like us and, you know, give them Prabhupada's book so they can get some information as to what spiritual life really is, what spirituality really is. And just on that, and the other half of the realization was that, and also I'm using this technique now. I just started using it about a week or so ago, and I'm getting the realization also how easy it is to distribute the book. I haven't been saying anything pretty much about the philosophy. I just stop and I say, excuse me, do you go here? Are you a student? And they say, yeah. And they go, are you a good one? It's a joke, you know. And they go, yeah. I say, great, we're trying to give these to the really spiritual-looking people out here today. And, you know, do that thing. And then after that, I just say, you know, people just give a donation. That's enough. You know, just, in other words, like sometimes we have in our head, like, oh, book distribution, that's going to be difficult. That's nothing to it. You know, you just chant your rounds, follow the program and go out there, give people a joke and a compliment and ask them for a donation. And you've distributed a book, pretty much. It's so simple.
I think this also comes from distributing for 40 years. Every day.
Thank you, Prabhu. As far as glorification goes, there is a whole chapter in the Chaitanya Charitamrita of a personality who's very arrogant and proud, and he thinks he's very knowledgeable. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu starts glorifying each one of his stalwart devotees. Advaita Acharya, Lord Nityananda, Ramananda Roy, and on and on and on. And he was describing all the beautiful qualities of each devotee. So he was, by doing this, he was teaching that devotee, arrogant and proud, who thinks he knows more, that you can learn, that you can actually, by being humble, you can become happy. He was very unhappy because every time he would go to the assembly of Lord Chaitanya, he would try to show off his knowledge. The Lord says, I don't want to hear that. And he would even, you know, went to, you know, search and canvas for a humble devotee who wanted to maybe hear Gadadhara Pandi. And finally he accepted to hear just out of compassion, fearing that Lord Chaitanya will get angry at his devotees. So yes, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was glorifying a lot of devotees. He himself, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, find that he make advancement by glorifying devotees. And there's no other way. I don't know anything about Krishna. I learned this from Ramananda Roy. From Lord Nityananda, I learned this from such and such personality. That's in the Adi Lila chapter 7. Vallabha meets Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Also, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he would say, you're fault finding because you're honeycombed the fault yourself. And if two devotees are fighting, he would call upon them and he would ask each one to glorify the other, just to, you know, set the example.
Hare Krishna. I just wanted to take the opportunity to glorify devotees. Today the kirtan was really beautiful, very fine, and I think all of us, we can derive a lot of spiritual happiness when kirtan is really sweet and beautiful and refined, and you know, when there's you can see that the time has gone on to learn how to do things nicely. I wanted to thank everyone, it was really beautiful.
Jai. Antara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.